Thank you for joining us. In this podcast, we are real people talking about real things, child abuse and neglect, a topic that is all too often left in the shadows of silence, leaving survivors alone, fearful, and oftentimes without a voice. We're having conversations to become louder than silence. It is here where we will invite you to join us and be the change needed to end child abuse and neglect. All right. Good morning, everybody. I am Lori Poland. I am the CEO at the National Foundation to End Child Abuse and Neglect, and I am here with one of my newest friends that we met this year, and it was like friends at first sight. We immediately started teasing one another. I think I introduced myself as Tom, and then we went from there. And so you can imagine such a natural alliance to our relationship. But once you hear him and get to know him, I think you will be just as enamored as I've been by our guest today, Tom Crummins, who is the executive director of the Keep Kids Safe initiative. And I can't wait for you to tell us a little bit about that. But welcome, Tom.
Oh, well, it's an absolute pleasure to be here. I'm delighted for the chance to chat. And like you said, it was a very quick, fast friends type of moment. And I think that's a good reminder of what happens when you spend time working with people trying to make a difference in the world. So it's good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you. I'm going to go ahead and go off script right out of the gate. And you're welcome. And I would just love for you to tell our guests, you know, a little bit about what you're doing in the world. And I did not add your recent pretty big thing, and I don't want to give it away, so I'm going to let you say it all. But go ahead and tell our listeners who you are, Tom.
Yeah, let's build some suspense while we do it.
Ooh, I know.
Stay tuned. It's an absolute pleasure. My name is Tom Crummins, and like Lori mentioned, I'm the executive director for the Keep Kids Safe movement. And the idea is, how do you establish this movement of survivors and allies across the country and connect it to the rest of the world to show that people are committed to addressing sexual violence against children and adolescents? This very stigmatized challenge that we're dealing with, this crisis that's ongoing that people aren't comfortable talking about. And the way that I've viewed this work, because what are we doing? We're building a movement that sounds big, that sounds grand. And I like to take, rather than looking at this giant mountain we're trying to climb, I try to focus in on, well, what are those basic things that we can do to make Mondays more effective and Tuesdays more effective and Wednesdays better at what we're doing? And in my mind, that comes down to three basic things. You find this North Star, the shared North Star by people across the country and around the world that are working towards addressing this issue. There's tons of them. They're in schools, they're in hospitals, they're in childcare centers, they're in sporting programs, they're in faith institutions, online and offline, all ages. You're completely right. And you work with them, you connect with them, and you find that shared North Star. Then you figure out who you're marching with. So you look at all these people that you've been chatting with and say, all right, who's around us? Who's in this ecosystem? Who's in this movement? And then lastly, as you center and you uplift those voices that are most impactful, the ones that are most impacted by this issue, and those are the survivors and the children themselves, and being able to say, this should never happen again. But for those that have experienced this type of trauma, they need that security. They need that healing. They need that pathway to justice. And so find that shared North Star, grow the ecosystem, and then uplift survivors. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Why did I get into this space? Well, it's because I'm one of the people that experienced this form of abuse. I experienced an assault and a rape during my time in the Boy Scouts of America. And the past couple of years has been a chaotic time, to say the least. I've been involved in an 82,000 person bankruptcy, the largest child abuse bankruptcy in U.S. history. And some are saying now the most complicated bankruptcy, period, not even child abuse, just the structure of it. It's it's all kinds of chaos. Yeah. And going through this process and then stepping into this work, it's really exciting because now people are starting to share my story in a way that's impacting others. And here's the suspenseful moment that Lori alluded to.
Here it comes.
The story had, it had been shared in a recent Netflix documentary called Scouts Honor, The Secret Files of the Boy Scouts of America. And it is one of those films that I think everyone needs to watch because you need to have your heart broken. But then you need to have a chance for your heart to fill back up with hope, because
it happens from start to finish in that video. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like you leave the documentary with a broken heart and then have to go seek the putting it back together on your own. From start to finish of the documentary, both of those things happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all wrapped into one. It's the brutally beautiful burden we bear. I'm alliterative, so we'll stick with that one.
Love it. Well, Tom, thanks for being here. Thanks for being my friend. Thanks for being my colleague. Thanks for, all the work that you do. And I am so honored to march with you. And I'm so excited to have this mutual natural ally in you, both for what is happening at NTCAN and what's happening with Keep Kids Safe. I think they're very, very similar. I think they're almost exactly the same in a sense, except your guys' focus point is specifically on sexual violence and sexual abuse. And whereas ours is just a little broader, which makes it feel like a bigger mountain, or maybe it's a whole mountain range, but nonetheless, like you said, you find the people and then you figure out who you can do impactful stuff with. And I certainly, in meeting you and knowing you, I feel like together, along with all of the others, we are going to do big things. And hopefully at some point we have time to come back to the discomfort around talking about this topic and or maybe it's other podcasts, because that it comes up so often and I'd really love to kind of debunk the talking about this. But we are here today specifically to talk about sexual abuse. And I just am hoping that this podcast can be both a conversation and an education opportunity for our listeners, just from one person, just from one survivor, from one leader, and from one professional, from your perspective. Let's inform and educate, knowing and recognizing, listeners, that there are others and other thoughts and viewpoints and perspectives and all of it, right? There's more to it than even Tom and I can put first in a 25-minute podcast. But second, in our own frameworks, like we just want to acknowledge that, because these podcasts are called Louder Than Silence, and the whole goal is anything other than silence is creating the necessary change. And so here we are, and I'm going to start with the first question, and that is just one of the most basic questions, is to you, Tom, what is sexual abuse?
So I have started using the term sexual violence to expand even further than that.
Excellent.
Because there's all of these different areas that you can see impact. There's it can start with something that is non-contact and harassment, and then it can work its way into forms of exploitation that are happening online and offline these days. There is that is all interconnected.
Yeah.
There is examples of direct assaults that can happen. Mm-hmm. And then there's all of the behaviors around grooming that can build, stripping away a child's innocence, humanity, and sense of trust. There's any form of unwanted touching or physical attraction or altering how a child experiences the world of emerging sexuality, that for me is sexual abuse and violence. And there's there's so much work that needs to be done because it's something that is uncomfortable for people to talk about at this moment, but it doesn't have to be that way and that can change.
Yeah. All right. Well, you just took us there. So I say, let's go there for a moment. you know, I liken and forgive me for, I'm never going to claim that I'm all knowing, and I'm never going to claim that I'm an expert in everything. I'm only an expert in the lens by which I live. So, I liken the fear of talking about abuse, especially child abuse specifically, to my own experience and fear during the Black Lives Matter movement. And last year during, we hosted a absolutely beautiful gathering of 62 professionals. And in that gathering, we brought an expert on the whole world of DEI and conversation having around our differences of culture and ethnicity and all of that. And her name is Dr. Beverly Tatum, and she has written so many books, but my favorite one, I've read three of her books, and my favorite one is Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together in the Cafeteria? And Dr. Tatum and I just had this, you know, side-by-side chat with our audience about the discomfort of people talking to and about equality. And I had shared with her, my fear in saying anything was my own ethnicity, my own lack of knowledge, my own ill experience in being exposed to racial injustice and cruelty and discrimination. I haven't had as much experience in ethnicity and equality injustice. And so therefore I didn't feel like I warranted a voice in it. And the very last thing I ever want to do in my existence is offend somebody. And so by me not saying something, I thought I was being better than saying something unwarranted, like without earning it, right? And so then she had the best answers to all of this, and I'm not ever going to be able to repeat in it as good as she was, but it was so profound how she brought that over to the topic of child abuse, because a lot of times I think people don't want to talk about it because of that. Because I mean, even we as survivors compare our abuses to one another, and well, because I wasn't raped, I don't deserve to have a voice on this, because my abuse wasn't nearly as bad as yours, so therefore I don't deserve, you know. And so then all of a sudden that comparison elicits silence. And specifically with sexual violence and the sex trafficking world and the online world, there, it's so big and so vast now that the silence is really what perpetrators count on, right? Like, they're like, this is working for me because you're so uncomfortable, survivor, non-survivor, family member, cousin, doesn't matter, right? Because everybody's so uncomfortable, it's fuel on their fire. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about that discomfort around that silence, and therefore is potentially maybe one of many reasons why we don't talk about it.
There are a lot of layers in there.
I know, I'm sorry.
in the problem itself. And my initial gut reaction is always, let's strip away all of the identities and start with who we all are. And that is, we are all human. And when you start at that point, you get the chance to say, well, where are all the different settings where abuse can occur? And you get the chance to see, oh, it's in every single community. Anywhere that has any contact with children runs the risk of running into this issue. Okay, that's a foundation. Okay. Mm-hmm. What are those different intersections around demographics, around race, around gender identity, around sexual orientation, around the presence of disability, all of these different areas, you can start to see disparities occur, right? Mm-hmm. You get the chance to see if any community is dealing with any form of marginalization. Well, the issues, this human issue that we all struggle with gets exacerbated. And when you get the chance to see it from that framework, that's what you're saying. It's this feeling of being overwhelmed and to say, well, what is the right thing to say? And we're so focused on, it's so easy to fall into that trap. We all do it. It happens constantly.
We want to get it right.
You have to get it right. And the answer, the only way to get it wrong is to not speak up at all. And it's not about saying the perfect thing, because if you say something wrong and someone corrects you, boom, that's a conversation. And that means it started. When you start with that point of shared humanity and then say, okay, we need to address this issue across the board, but we need to also recognize the areas that's most likely to bubble to the surface. Well, then suddenly you've got a clearer game plan. The other thing that I think is really challenging here, and you also alluded to it, is, well, what's my role in this? And if you feel like there's such a big mountain to climb that suddenly you have to solve the whole thing yourself, Lori, right now here today, that's not going to happen. I can't do that either. No one listening can do that. That will never happen.
Yeah.
So what you do then is you show how the scale of the issue, it's diffuse throughout society, but then you also show how many groups and organizations and individuals are taking action also throughout society.
Yeah.
And you can paint that picture and say, if now I'm interested in working in schools, that's all I need to do, because I know there's someone working in faith institutions, or I know there's someone working on specifically helping Black girls and Black women, or someone that's helping those that are experiencing forms of poverty and oppression. Any number of those different facets, you feel more comfortable acting because you know others are doing the same. And that sense of community is how you break through the shame and the stigma and the silence.
What I hear when you say that, Tom, the word that comes to mind is trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as a survivor myself of psychological abuse and sexual abuse, trust is interesting, because I trust blindly until I have reason not to. And a lot of survivors don't trust until you earn it. But I think what you just described in community, which is really the longing for all humans, first, every human wants to matter. Like, that's just innate animalistic. We're pack animals. It's who we are as our animal. And so mattering and communal existence is our natural instinct, and that comes, you get that through trust. And so I think what you just said invited trust. And I think that's really beautiful. And it's blind trust. It's not necessarily trusting that the world is safe, or trusting that no other child's going to be hurt in the next 10 years, or trusting that we're going to be alive when we see this change. But it's trusting that universally there is an understanding and a desire to make change. And that all of us, if we keep doing our thing, there will be change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of, if not my biggest fear in all this work, is that our gut reaction, our natural human protective reaction, is not to trust anybody, because what defines a perpetrator? Are the characteristics that give that away? There is no clear mold. It can be anybody. Mm-hmm. And that leads us to have those reactions. My assault happened during my time in the Boy Scouts. And so many people are saying, well, we can't trust any volunteers with any youth serving organizations? And I go, no, you build systems that can show trust, and then you build communities that show trust, and then you keep an eye out in a really good proactive way. And then you're able to not focus on rapid response as much because you're actually working on prevention. And it flips the model. We're in this transition stage right now. We're raising the scale of the issue. The gut reaction is to now to no longer trust people. And I ask people always, always push past that to the next level. How do we build those systems and those communities of trust? Because that's the only way through this.
Yeah. And there, and I would even just say to add to that, and then I want to do one more question before we wrap this up. It feels like we naturally should just do another podcast together.
Of course, naturally.
Yeah. But I would say even in that trust piece is just reminding specifically the survivor that there was some semblance of trust that got us out of victimhood and into surviving. And because whether that's trusting ourselves enough to say this is wrong and asking for help or crying out, whether it was trusting another person and disclosing to them and them doing the right thing and getting us the support and help we needed, or whether it was, you know, whatever that looks like, that there was some semblance of trust that got us out of victimhood and into survivorship. And then just as theoretically for me, the developmental process that I love, that I've been working on for all of my years in this field, which is far too many, is after we move out of victimhood, we go into survivorship, and then we move beyond that into thriving. And so many people, the majority of people, move beyond surviving into thriving. And then more and more now, and maybe that's because I've made the choice to surround myself with people I want to be like, we move beyond thriving into transcending. And that transcendence is where we give back more opportunity for change. And we share our voices and our experiences with others in hopes that they may take any of it and do something good in their world with it. So that's the gift. That's the beauty. And it feels good, even though it felt horrible. And some days it still feels horrible, but most days it feels really, really good. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, I want to ask you one more question, Tom, and that is that how can our listeners get help, whether that's help themselves or help their communities? What would you suggest?
Well, let's split that into the two sections of, I think that's a really good way to do it. So in terms of getting help yourself, there are a number of different resources that are available through a variety of different partners. I think the easiest way, rather than sharing a bunch of links verbally, is to share those in the show notes. So we can pass those along, but there are a number of different tools that make it very easy and approachable to reach out to people, to give you guides to reach out to either professionals or to people in your community and to get connected and to feel supported. There are a wide variety of different programs and tools that you can use, either in that moment of initial crisis response or in the broader push for healing and justice to get you there.
Yep. Be a part of the movement.
Absolutely. And then in terms of the how do you give back? How do you join? How do you participate? I really encourage people to focus in a little bit on yourself right before you take that big jump and say, what's the thing that matters to you the most? What is that one problem that you want to solve? Not this whole issue. Not one of us is going to be able to do that. But what's that issue that you're most passionate about? Is it the setting? Is it being in a school or a faith institution? Great. Focus in on that and let that be your starting point, and trust that you'll have the chance to find your way and really get connected. In terms of what we're doing, we have a newsletter that we're about to launch that highlights all of these different opportunities and gives you a chance to see where you can join and where you can participate and how you can get involved, especially in your own community. So stay tuned for that. We'll also share that in the show notes and pass it along. And then the last thing is we're always happy for people to come by our website. It's keepkidssafe.us. But I like to say it's keepkidssafe.us.
I love that. That's so good. That's so good. And probably wasn't even intentional. It just landed there.
I will say it was painfully intentional. I really wanted that.
I love it. I love when things happen organically and then all of a sudden you're like, wow, that's cool. But I also love it when we really work hard towards something and we achieve it. So congrats on getting a really cool website. And thank you. Thank you for transcending. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being louder than silence. And thanks for being a friend, Tom. It is truly an honor to know you and to work alongside you. And I'm excited to change the world with you. And I think just in this recording alone, I know we've changed a few people's lives. And if that's an honor to do with you. And so thank you. And I thank all of our listeners for being here today and falling in love with my friend Tom Crummins along with me. And you will be able to get a hold of Tom's information in our show notes. And if you have any questions, we in our podcast series this season, we're going to be doing some Q&A episodes so that we can answer your questions, because your questions matter. And that just tells us that there's interest in wanting to know more. And so if you have any questions for Tom, let me know. And maybe we have enough questions that we bring him back, or maybe Tom and I chat and I can answer those. I'm not sure how that will unfold, but that's what I love about this work is we don't know where we're going. We just know that we keep clearing the path and it seems to reveal itself. So thanks everybody for listening to our Louder Than Silence podcast. Tom, thank you again for being here.
It's good to be here. And hey, I'll pop back in if we get 17 questions. There's a number.
I think we only answered 3 or 4 in this one, but okay, 17.
Well, bring it on, audience.
We'll do a whole podcast series together. I love it. Hey, have a great day. Thanks y'all for listening. Take care. Bye-bye. I want to thank each of you again for joining us today and listening in. If you or someone you know is being abused, please call 1-800-4-A-CHILD. To learn more about EndCan, visit www.endcan.org or find us on all social media platforms. Join us in being louder than silence and being a part of the change. Please leave a comment, like our podcast, or share with your friends. The more the word spreads, the more of a collective impact we can have.